The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, if another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. God bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. Thank you to our choir. So great to have you back. Well, there was a priest and a minister of music that were not getting along too well. Now, this is not about Dan and I promise. I'm not passively, aggressively talking about Dan, I promise. This is another priest. And the priest was preaching one Sunday morning, and he was talking about how we need to be active with our faith. We need to go and get out there. The music director decided to play a song that morning that was called, I Shall Not Be Moved. The next week, the priest said, well, we need to be giving. This is stewardship time, and we need to give from our finances. And that day, the music director played, Jesus Paid It All. Well, this beef was continuing, and the next week, the priest began to preach about gossiping and talking about others. And that week, the music director played, I Love to Tell the Story. Well, this kept going on, and finally the priest said, I've had enough of this, and rumors started to get out that the priest was going to leave. He was going to leave the church. And that particular week, the music director played, Oh, Why Not Tonight? Well, finally, the priest decided to leave. He just couldn't take it anymore. He had had enough, decided to leave, but he didn't want this music minister to get the final word. And he said, you know, Jesus brought me to this church, and it's Jesus that's leading me away from this church. And so the minister of music played, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I can assure you that Dan and I have no beef with one another. I love working with Dan. It's been a wonderful thing. But the truth is, conflict happens in the church, doesn't it? And Jesus is giving us a beautiful example of how to work on conflict within the church, and how to help our brothers and sisters when they're struggling with something. What's really interesting, if you think about this passage, Jesus is talking about the church. He uses that word, ecclesia, but the church doesn't exist yet. Remember, the church doesn't start until Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes and anoints people. That's why we celebrate Pentecost, the beginning of the church. So what Jesus is saying here really kind of transcends the church itself. Certainly all of these principles apply to the ecclesia, the ones that are called out unto God. But the idea is this is assembly life. Jesus is saying these principles are true in all of our lives, whether it's our workplace, and sometimes even in our family. So let's break down just a little bit what Jesus is trying to help us with here. He talks about if your brother or sister sins against you. Now, Jesus is using the common word there, the idea of harming someone. And this isn't just the small little things. You know, maybe it's One particular Sunday morning, somebody doesn't shake your hand. That's not the kind of grievance that Jesus is talking about. Maybe they were just distracted and forgot to shake your hand or whatever that may be. This is real stuff when someone hurts somebody else. And if you're like me, you've been hurt by somebody, sometimes even in the church. And if you're like me, you've also been somebody that has hurt somebody. And I've done that before. And I stand before you as a priest that has made mistakes and even been confronted. I'll never forget when I was a young priest, I was dedicating a lot more of my time and attention to the ministry than to my family. And I'll never forget this old deacon, his name was Bill. He comes up to me, puts his arm around me, and he says, "Michael, you're doing a great job around here, but you're not married to the church. You're married to your wife, and you need to spend more time with her." Now, I wanted to blast him, you know, get defensive. How dare you tell a priest how to do their job? But the truth is, he was right. And he was lovingly confronting me, just like Jesus is talking about. And did you notice he says, take the person aside. Don't do it publicly. He didn't do some veiled public rebuke of me. He took me aside. And then he did something even more wonderful. He actually said, "And I'm going to help you with this." And he paid to send me away for a weekend to have a vacation with my wife. It was a very beautiful act. But that's what Jesus is talking about. That sometimes when someone has done something wrong, we carefully and lovingly help them understand what it is that they've done wrong. And we come alongside them. Now, the truth is, that doesn't always work, right? We have free will. And sometimes we resist those confrontations. And then Jesus says to escalate that just a little bit. We've seen this in the workplace, right? Sometimes you talk to that person directly, but sometimes you have to go to a supervisor or have someone go with you. And certainly that's true in the church. Sometimes it's even true in our families. Now, that witness, those people that go with you, are also supposed to be loving and kind. And it's the idea of seeing the confrontation or being other people that are aware that need to help in that particular situation. It doesn't look like gossip. In the old days, you know, there used to be prayer requests. You know, we have prayer requests, but we don't use them for gossip. We use them to bring before God for change through the Spirit of God. But I remember when I was younger that people would say all sorts of things about people. Oh, do you know Michael and his wife are having troubles? Nobody's actually said that. I'm just using that as an example. But then they would say, "Well, the only reason I'm telling you is because I want you to pray about it." That's called gossip. That's not the kind of witness that Jesus is talking about here. He's saying bring other loving people to identify what's going on and to help in the particular confrontation. See how timeless this is? What Jesus is talking about really applies in so many wonderful ways. What's sad is this idea of witnesses, we even have that in our court system. But you can hire a liar to say pretty much anything in courts these days, right? And even on Google and Amazon, you can actually hire people to do product reviews and to just say certain things to boost your positive product reviews. That is not the kind of witness that Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about people who are loving and kind that join for one purpose. And did you catch that? The purpose is reconciliation. The goal isn't just to point somebody's mistakes out in their life. It's to help them as a person. What a beautiful thing. And the truth is, I've needed help to grow as a person. And that confrontation in my life was very, very important. But I've also been on the other side of this too. There was a time where I had to confront somebody for doing something to me. I like to use personal examples because it kind of brings it home. I hope that's okay with everybody. but there was a certain person in the church, not here, this is 15 years ago, so don't just start thinking, okay, who is it? Who is it? It's not. And there was a person, she would avoid me after church. I thought, what is going on? And I even said to Kate, do you think there's something, did I do something? And she said, I don't know what you did this time. But so sure enough, I went to this person and I said, if I have offended you, would you please forgive me? But it seems like there might be something between us. Would you find it in your heart to tell me so that I can change or fix whatever that might be? And she told me that I had told her husband, or her boyfriend, excuse me, in counseling to break up with her, which was not true at all. And so then I had to go and confront the boyfriend, who was doing some things that he shouldn't have been doing, and I said, you need to actually treat that person well. And so it was this very awkward situation where I had to try to restore this person and get to the truth. And did you notice that this is where we need and get God's help? Did you notice the very end of this passage? It says, where two or three are gathered, there I am in the midst. The context of this is helping people heal and be reconciled to one another. It's not talking about me and Grant running into each other at Publix in the cereal aisle. Oh, where two or three are gathered, you know, there, Jesus is in our midst. It's not that. Certainly that's true. Whenever a couple Christians are together, Jesus is there. But it's so much deeper than that. And in this particular confrontation, I had to involve these two people and talk to them about this issue and confront some of these things in a careful, loving way. And Jesus promised that when you do those things for the purpose of reconciling people, he says, there I am in the midst. What a beautiful promise that Jesus is giving. It's so much more than just a friendly little saying. It's a promise that God is giving to us when we have to do hard things to show our love for one another. We sometimes experience this even in our families, don't we? Kate and I have someone in our family right now who we've lovingly and others in our family have confronted. Others have been involved, even of almost an intervention. And now the relationship's a little bit different. And that's what he says in this passage too. That when the person won't change and when things are ongoing and they're starting to hurt other people, the relationship has to change. And there has to be some boundaries. And you have to say no to being hurt. And so even in that, when he talks about treating them like the Gentiles or the tax collectors, he's saying the relationship needs some boundaries and things have to change. And we never want that to, we never want things to get to that point. But sometimes we have to put some boundaries on the relationship to make sure they know that it's not okay. And that's the tough part of what Jesus is saying. Many of us have experienced that kind lives. Now, some of you might be asking, well, what about forgiveness? Where does forgiveness fit in this whole thing? Do you want to know about forgiveness? Come back next week, because that's what we're talking about in the rest of the gospel. So as we summarize this, this idea of confrontation always has at the root of it love for the other person. It's always about helping them grow and reconciliation in the relationship. And the beautiful thing about doing difficult things like this sometimes is the promise that Jesus gives us that he will be with us. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you need to set some boundaries with that needs this kind of loving confrontation. Or maybe someone in your life that you need to apologize to. Maybe somebody you need to go to, or that I need to go to, and be reconciled to them. What will this passage of Jesus's for us today look like in your life and my life? Amen.
Amen.